Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
We have no cause to mourn or weep. Securely shall this body sleep, till Christ himself shall death destroy, and raise the blessed dead to joy.
Stanza 5 of the hymn, This Body in the Grave We Lay. We're picking up where we left off with Pastor Will Weed in part 7 of our series on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. There's a part of this longer prayer in the funeral that I've always found a great summary at the end of a prayer that talks about those who mourn, those in particular mourning at a funeral, the comfort of the resurrection. And then it simply says, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort. Now, where do we find that comfort? We'll find out here in just a minute. But also, in the midst of things we cannot understand, seems a really good summary of the state of mind of those who mourn. There are a lot of things we can't understand when one of our loved ones died. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, September the 18th. Our call-in number for the next hour as we go through the seventh part of our liturgy on sickness, dying, and death with Pastor Will Weeden, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and for our beloved on-demand listeners, we know as you listen, you still want to have questions or comments, and you can do so any time of day or night at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Will Weeden is a regular guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
I've always thought, as a pastor going through this in the middle of the funeral, that it's a great summary.
This just really is.
Just help us in the middle of all this stuff that we cannot understand.
And there are times when you're going through a death that you look at it and it is understandable. My brother-in-law just lost his father. He was 103 years old. And, you know, a death at 103 is understandable. And that's not one of those things that causes perplexity, though it still causes sadness. But when it's the death of a child, when it's the death of a spouse unexpected, there are all kinds of these horrible, unexpected. I mean, we live in the St. Louis area. You know, LCMS Church has recently lost a pastor because of a highway accident on Highway 255.
Something that no one could understand.
Yeah, right. You look at that and you go, God, why? So many times we have those moments, and when they hit, and your heart is broken. And you just don't know what to say, what better things to say than, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, in other words, stuff you're not wrapping your mind around, to believe and find comfort. And then there's a list of things here that should sound very familiar right out of the Apostles' Creed, the communion of saints. In other words, help us to believe and find comfort that this one who is baptized into you, this one whose life has been joined to Jesus Christ has a life now that death cannot take away, and that we still share communion with him in the church, that the church is when St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that neither life nor death shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, the church is that communion of love in Christ Jesus where death cannot separate those who have been bound together in him. Help us to believe this, Lord. We don't see it. We can't see it. What we see is the body of someone we love being committed to the earth, to the ground, and we wonder, Lord, is this all there is? Surely not, Lord. Help. And in the midst of this, comes this sweet thing. No, it is not all that is. And against what you see, trust this promise of the one who died and lives again, and who promises whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Trust that this person still is alive in the communion of saints. And the next item is the forgiveness of sins. This is really important because every time you're dealing with somebody who's died, you're dealing with a sinner. You're dealing with somebody that you knew they were far from perfect. You live with them, you know. I think I've already told this story before, but I go back to it again. My wife's uncle's funeral, somebody was just, you know, praising this guy up one side and down the other. And one of my mother-in-law's dear friends leaned back and said to her, "Boy, I'd like to have known that guy," because it wasn't the real live sinner that was in front of us. Well, help us to believe that these sins that we know that were in that person, they've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. But then the heart, the core, the center, help us to believe in the resurrection of the body, because these sins are forgiven, because in Jesus Christ, his blood has washed them away, because in baptism, this person has been joined to the body of Christ. Help us to believe that these bones will live again. This flesh will live again. This person will stand alive again, just like Job said in chapter 19. I will see with my own eyes and not another how my heart yearns within me. This is the faith of the church, that this body will be raised, and therefore faith and comfort in the life everlasting, that there is given to this person whose body is here before us the promise of a life that simply does not come to an end. Unto the ages of ages is the picture there.
Now, there's a space here in the red, in the rubrics, for those occasions that you mentioned, those ones that, well, I mean, it includes all manners of death.
Right.
An infant that has been baptized, sudden tragic death, elderly.
Or a young person.
Yeah, a shocking death, a kind of death that comes by surprise, all of those things. What would you say of those additional petitions that could be added here?
Well, I think each one is beautiful in asking for none of them. There are no circumstances where you're facing death where the people that gather together are not in need of comfort. And every one of them asks for God's comfort. But the comfort is indeed a peculiar comfort for each one. The sudden death one, I think, is the one that has always grabbed me the most. Comfort us at this sudden death of so-and-so. And make us always ready for your final summons when we will depart and be with Christ in glory. The recognition that, yes, death came all of a sudden to this person. It was unlooked for, unexpected. And yet we know that God has told any of us that it can happen to any of us anytime. There's no promise that any of us have it of a tomorrow.
This is one of Luther's insights. Now, he has it in connection with suicide.
Yeah.
But his insight is, look— God permits these things so that we might be aware of the devil's devil's constant desire to draw us into despair, to rob us of Christ.
Yeah.
And Luther's, I guess, in a day when we weren't so sensitive about talking about death, he could very easily say, so-and-so died, and you ought to learn something from this.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's, in Stark's prayer book, at this beautiful prayer that he has in the presence of the dead body of somebody, you know, that has just recently died, he has the very specific petition, you know, help us also to remember that we must die. Every death is a reminder of that. Every death that an individual of somebody you love is a reminder that you yourself are going to be passing through that gate of death and the grave with the Lord Jesus Christ too, and you will be passing through with Him to a joyful resurrection. After these specific petitions, and there's one also for after a long illness or. For a pastor, or if there's a prayer for an elderly person, there are all kinds of specifics there. The prayers conclude with two more sections. The first one says, "Receive our thanks for And then the person is named, and for all the blessings you bestowed on him or her in this earthly life, bring us at last to your heavenly home, that with them we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. I love this because the church stands at the altar week after week and proclaims this radical truth that there's not a time or place when thanksgiving to God is out of place. That, you know, there. All time and all space is given us to enact a sacrament of thanksgiving to God. And so here, even, I mean, if you can do it here, you can do it anywhere. To stand at the death of a person that you've loved and be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for all the blessings you've given them. But above all, thank you for the promise that we will join them in your paradise.
Now, I want your thoughts on this before we go into the break, because this is the one thing that I think still gets retained in a kind of a pop Christianity that's been evacuated of everything else at the funeral, a celebration of life. And I'm trying to put the best construction on it and say they're giving thanks to God for the person and the person's life who has just died. But often that's all it is.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's just, let's show a video montage of their baby pictures with stirring music, and let's try and be happy about what the time they did have with us now that they're no longer with us.
Yeah, and I think there's a stress in that kind of a way of celebrating, if you can put it that way. You know, it's usually a pretty poor celebration. There's a way of celebrating that way that focuses on the wrong thing. It focuses on all the memories about what so-and-so liked to do, but it doesn't focus on the great things God did for this person. And that's really where the focus needs to be, because that is something that you can say thanks to God for, even with tears streaming down your face. Thank you, God, that you washed away this person's sin. Thank you, God, that you promised them the gate, that you would open the gate of everlasting life to them. Thank you for planting in them the undying body and blood of the Son of God. Thank you. I mean, these are not the kind of things that tend to get celebrated, are they? I mean, that's usually what they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the very heart of what a Christian funeral is all about.
The final part here, as you mentioned, is just it's a
collect. Everything else up here has not really been a collect, right? It's been – so, I mean, this is a set prayer all by itself.
And it's just a bunch of Bible passages all woven together.
it is glorying in the great promises of God about the gift of eternal life. Do we have time to actually jump into this?
Yeah, let's do it real quick, and then we'll take our break.
All right. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
What does it say about 30 seconds
here? Oh, my goodness. I hate it when you do that. 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, you got plenty of time.
All right. So he starts out, you know, light and immortality to light, you know, First Timothy there. And we give thanks that he has destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, here's this line, open the kingdom of heaven to all believers, not from scripture, but from another part of the liturgy, from the Te Deum Laudamus, when thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers, which is a fabulous statement of the Lutheran doctrine of salvation, by the way, and open to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also. You hear echoes of John 11 in there. Because I live, you will live also. Beautiful. And that nothing will be able to say, Romans 8, nothing's going to be able to separate us from this love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a delightful weave of scripture and liturgy, and it does so in a real sense. There is a sense of triumph in this last collect that, death, you have not won.
We're talking with Pastor Will Wheaton, part 7 of our series with him on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. When we come back, there's a rubric here that follows that prayer that says, oddly, or it seems oddly, when there is Holy Communion. I don't think I've ever been to a funeral where the Lord's Supper has been celebrated, but there's a provision for it, and we'll talk about that after this break.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Doss. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. This body in the grave we lay, stanza 6. We're talking about the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death with Pastor Will Whedon, part 7 of our series with him. We are in the latter part of the funeral service itself. There's a rubric there where Holy Communion is celebrated or something to that effect.
Yeah, the service continues with the offertory in the divine service when there is communion. Otherwise, the service continues with the Lord's Prayer.
I've done a lot of funerals. I've never conducted one with the Lord's Supper in it, and I don't think I've ever been to a funeral with the Lord's Supper in it. What's going on?
Yeah, it certainly is not common in this part of the country. It is common in some other areas of the country to actually celebrate the divine service the funeral in the divine service is the better way to put it. It can be a really wonderful comfort to the family. Remember the story I told last time about my friend Charlie's family all lining up on the day after his the morning after his death to come to communion because they wanted to be with Dad that morning. They had very clear understanding of the communion of saints, that when they received the body and blood of Jesus, they were with all of this. Where Jesus is, there his people are, and so their dad was there with Jesus. That can be a huge comfort to the family and to any of the mourners. It becomes problematic when almost invariably in a funeral, you're going to have a mixed crowd. And so there will not be everybody there that's of the Lutheran confession. And so all of a sudden, the painful divisions of Christ's church over the Lord's Supper come to the fore. There they are. What do you do with this? And it can be awkward. You know, Rome does this all the time. They do not have an open communion table, so they're very clear. We're happy you're here, but the sacrament is for Catholics only. I'm sure there are ways that it can be done in a non-offensive way, but most of the time where you're already in a heightened emotional situation with the funeral, I've just always followed the route of leaving it out. I do want to stress, though, if it is used, there are some really beautiful pieces of liturgy that very, very rarely are heard because they're attendant on this. Listen to the proper preface that's assigned for a funeral liturgy. These words are amazing. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom the hope of the blessed resurrection shines forth, so that those who mourn may be consoled with the promise of eternal life. In you, O Lord, life is transformed and not taken away, so that this earthly body is prepared for an eternal home in heaven. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Isn't that absolutely splendid?
Mm-hmm.
And as you would expect at the funeral liturgy, it doesn't deny resurrection, but it does focus on, present comfort, a really beautiful piece of the liturgy. And if you take the entirety of the divine service, the service of the sacrament, and you set it in the context of a body in a coffin in front of you, it truly does take on added depth and meaning, every last bit of it. But if you're not doing communion at the funeral simply proceeds at this point with everybody praying together the prayer that Christ taught us. And I love its intro in the funeral. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. I mean, when you're trusting his promises, you can't help but think back to what we just heard about communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. In the comfort of that, then, we together as with the whole family of God, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be kept holy, even in this time, even through this death. May your name be holy, your truth be proclaimed. May your kingdom come. Send your Holy Spirit to every grieving, broken heart here. And your will be done. Lord, if we'd had our way, we would have said, don't let this person go, keep them alive. But we know that your will is always perfect. And with the Lord Jesus, we pray, not our will, but thine be done. Give us our daily bread. Lord, provide for all of our earthly needs. You know the powerful earthly needs that will seize the mourners in the days ahead. Meet every one of those by your grace. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. O Lord, you've forgiven this one who is lying here before us. Help us also to be generous and powerful forgivers. Lead us not into temptation, particularly into the times of doubt and despair that death and mourning can bring to us. Deliver us finally from every evil. Bring us to yourself in heaven. Promise us the resurrection of the body and allow us to look forward to that with great joy. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. We've talked numerous times about the way that the Lord's Prayer is aimed at certain intentions, and certainly it's aimed at the mourners as we pray together here with the whole family of God. The church is so constituted that if one member rejoices, all rejoice, and if one member sorrows, all sorrow. And so we have somebody that's sorrowing here in the body of Christ, and together the body of Christ weeps with them.
What follows after the Lord's Prayer?
Well, after the Lord's Prayer comes an interesting little rubric. And of course, I should give you your book back.
Oh.
So you know what follows. What follows is this rubric that the pastor then is to go and take his place by the casket and is even instructed to lay his hand on the casket. And then come these words, an antiphon. I am the resurrection, which is a little verse before a canticle. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. John 11. And laying hands on the casket at that point, the pastor is pronouncing that over this person, this body. The Lord Jesus promised that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. This is the promise that we proclaim, even in the face of death itself here. And then the congregation joins together in speaking or in singing the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon. if our hearers remember way back when we did the commendation of the dying, this was actually one of the songs that was prayed with the dying person. It makes so much sense when we remember the church's tradition that Simeon was an old man, and that when he says, "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace," he's talking about dying. He says, "Now I can die in peace because you have fulfilled your word. You keep your promises." And my own eyes, I mean, he's looking at the baby as he's saying this. "I believe my eyes have seen the salvation that you prepared in the presence of every people. Here it is. This you have come down in our flesh. The eternal Logos of God assumes a human nature into the unity of his divine person. And as a result, God himself shines from, he's looking at the face of God when he's looking at that little baby. And he says, this light is prepared in the sight of every people, and it's for every people. It's a light that reveals the Lord, the true God, to the nations, to the Gentiles, to those people who are outside of Israel's commonwealth. But it's also the glory of Israel. This child will be the true Jew, the true Israel. And looking at him, they'll see all the promises of God fulfilled and kept in him. And this moves, of course, into the church's hymn of praise, "The glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever." We think of this person whose body is here, their soul, even right now, is joining us in heaven, singing glory and praise to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This song has been fulfilled in them as it's been fulfilled in Simeon. And as is the way of an antiphon, it comes back. And so the little verse that began comes again. "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn.
Pastor Will Wheaton's our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, another half hour with him. We're going to walk through the last collect and the blessing of the funeral service, and then we're going to move, because the service isn't over here. It's not over. The funeral proceeds from, one would think, in the best of all possible circumstances, church to grave, and we'll take up the Camille right after the break.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included issues, etc., as a significant part of our outreach ministry. And we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and issues, etc., is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300. The seventh stanza of the hymn, This Body in the Grave We Lay. We're talking about the funeral service in our series on the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word. Will, there's a collect that follows.
You'd think we'd be done praying, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but we keep praying.
You can't not turn back to God in prayer in this time.
And I do wonder at this point, this is the point at which the family knows they've made it through the funeral. They're dreading this hour of sorrow. Every single family does this with few exceptions. Maybe, as you said, in the death of a very old person. But they dread this hour.
Yeah. It's the final farewell.
They're being comforted. They know the service is coming close to an end.
Yeah.
And now, instead of I don't want to go in there, it's I don't want to leave. Do you think that's part of why we kind of stretch it out a little bit?
I think that explains it very well psychologically, why we do not want to turn away from God and His Word here. And so having just sung or said the prayer of Simeon.
We're getting ready to leave.
We're getting ready to leave. There's one, it's even called in the liturgy, the concluding collect. You know, we know it's coming close to an end. And this, because it's a collect, it begins with the salutation, the Lord be with you, and the people's response, and also with you. And then the pastor says, let us pray. And let me ask you, where else could you turn but Psalm 23 for the greatest comfort, right? So here at the end, Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. That is just, I've said at the beginning of the prayer section, please, pastors, don't monkey with these prayers. Please let them stand. They are so beautiful. And this one, too. There was a provisional form of this. I don't know if you remember this. And I think we used the provisional form at Dr. Berry's funeral, if I recall correctly, Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Into your hands we commit. And then the person mm-hmm. was named. And then the prayer, comfort us. And I kind of feel sad that was finally left out of the form that we now have. But I know the provisional material had that in there.
Now, I do want to ask about the certain hope of the resurrection, that the quality of hope. It's not just the quantity of hope, but the quality of hope in the resurrection is unlike any other hope that we entertain.
Yeah.
It's a certain
hope. It's a certain hope because it's founded on the one who rose from the dead. And, if the one who absolutely truly died and was buried and then lived again says, I'll come back and take you to myself and I will raise you. you know, I am the resurrection. If he says that, we know that it's absolutely sure, certain. So hope here is not like in the gee, wouldn't it be nice kind of wishful thinking kind of hope. But this is the biblical certain kind of hope, the hope that's, you know, earlier today, Pastor Anderson and I were talking about this, and this kind of hope partakes of the nature almost of faith. You can say this is just faith looking to the future is the nature of hope. And it's not uncertain at all. I mean, it rests entirely in the certain promises of God.
As I often say, it's not, I hope this happens. It's God has promised this will happen. So there's the certainty.
So I have great hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so now I'm hopeful.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm going to skip the part here, if you don't mind.
No, that makes perfect sense. Explain the part maybe before if you're...
There are times when you can't make it to the grave.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you can't, there's a provision here in the rubrics for an abbreviated form of the committal. Just your thoughts here. Why should we make every effort to get to the grave?
You know, there's just some... I've had to do this like on one or two occasions. And I can't even begin to describe the unsettling nature of doing this in the church service. It just is weird. It's not right. There is something very powerful about planting someone into the ground in the hope of the resurrection. You know, Paul uses that kind of language about our baptism. We've been planted into Christ's death and resurrection. Well, you know, we plant them, but we know that they will rise, just like the seed, you know, especially the cemetery at St. Paul Church where I am a member. That cemetery is surrounded by, you know, fields. And you see every year the miracle happened of the grain being planted. And in God's springtime, that grain sprouts and comes to life again, buried, and it comes to life. And Jesus connects that to his own death and resurrection. As a grain of wheat, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. If it dies, it bears much fruit. So I think there's something powerful about planting them in the earth.
And I'll give my thoughts here. From a pastoral perspective, the procession is led by the pastor out to the waiting, usually to the waiting hearse.
Right.
He sees the body into the car.
Mm-hmm.
He travels with the body to the grave. And then he proceeds, and we'll get into this in the committal.
Yeah.
Then he leads the body and the family to the actual spot of a burial.
To the hole. Hole in the ground where the body's going to be dumped down.
And there's something about, I want to see this through all the way to the burial as a pastor. I can't just simply hand this body off
to somebody else.
Yeah, to as much as I love the guy, we're going to do this tomorrow with a dear parishioner of mine. And luckily, since I can't be at the committal, the pastor who's assisting will be at the committal. But there's something about seeing the body to the grave as a pastor that I feel a very compelling duty to carry out.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that the funeral directors try to usually kind of fight the pastors on this a little bit, that they don't want to start dealing with the body going into the hole while there are people there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a crying shame. I really like the older practice of letting the body be put down into the grave while the family is there watching, and maybe even letting the family participate in the covering up of the body. You know, the putting of the soil on top. But that heads into the committal. Well, before we get there,
we do have a blessing that's this kind of the standard blessing.
Yeah,
of the
church. The normal Benedicamus, you know, which is just the fancy Latin word for let us bless the Lord, and the people again, thanks be to God. Notice, you know, you're walking out with a dead body and you're still thanking God. This is what the church is all about. She is the gift of thanksgiving out into the world, and that's how she brings paradise or the age to come into this fallen age. But then the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There is no peace that's going to come to that family except the peace that comes from the Lord, the one who is the destroyer of death, the one who gave his son into the flesh to wipe out death's power, to give forgiveness to all people. That's where peace comes from. That's how the Lord lifts up his face upon you and gives you peace. And then unlike the other services, the pastor says something a little odd. He says, let us go forth in peace. And the people respond, in the name of the Lord, amen. So that's a way of saying, you just received a blessing. But don't think it's over. It's not over yet. We're going to walk together or drive together, as most times happens these days, to the cemetery to finish this liturgy.
Now, that brings us to the committal. What does this word mean when we talk about, and you just used it a few moments ago, we into your hands we commit this person, body and soul, that it was a part of that prayer at one time. What is a committal?
Well, a committal is the way that the church literally plants the body. And the prayers surrounding this committal service, you will note, bear a striking similarity to the commendation of the dying. There is a lot in common between the two, as usual, because it is its own distinct liturgy, even though it's joined to the funeral liturgy. We probably should take a look at some of the rubrics that surround it to get it.
They're really good too.
They really are. You don't have to be a liturgy geek to enjoy rubrics. they're really great stuff here. The committal is used for interment in a place previously set apart for burial. When burial is in a public cemetery, the collect of the blessing of the grave is used. The committal is also appropriate for the disposition of a body at sea. So even if the person is being returned to the deep, it will still have the order of committal. But noting the difference between sacred ground, the church ground that has been hallowed already by prayer, and ground that hasn't. If it's a public cemetery, then that's a place where the individual grave is blessed before the person is put into it. In the case of cremation, the ashes are to be buried or interred in the cemetery plot, mausoleum, crypt, or columbarium. The practice of scattering the ashes of the deceased to the elements is discouraged among Christians. If you have Dr. Schmidt on here, he will talk to you in detail about, you know, the very practice of cremation is to be discouraged. But where it is done, where, you know, and of course, did you have to do cremation burials as a pastor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done several and becoming more popular every day.
Yeah, they're popular because they're cheaper and... So they do continue to increase among us. But the whole point is you still treat those remains with all the same respect that you would treat the body. And so they are to be...
It is the body.
It is still to be put into a fit place in the hope and anticipation of the resurrection.
And the reason the scattering is mentioned here is because often that scattering is associated with kind of trying to thwart God's intent to raise bodies.
It's a confession that they've gone back to the elements.
It doesn't necessarily mean that when people do it. Sometimes they're just doing it out of sentimentality, and they're not trying to thwart the resurrection, but it could be interpreted that way.
And I'll never forget, I mentioned this before, that you know, the pastor of a denomination, which shall remain unnamed, who said at the funeral of my wife's grandparents, well, we leave their body here because they don't need it anymore. Ouch. That's the exact opposite of what the church says in her funeral liturgy.
Let's take a break before we jump into the rest of those rubrics and then into the committal proper. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's part 7 of our series with him. On this Thursday afternoon, September the 18th, the Liturgy of Sickness, Dying, and Death, we're getting into the graveside committal. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Final stanza of the hymn, This Body in the Grave We Lay. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the liturgy of committing the body into the grave, part of our series with Pastor Will Wheaton on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. Special thanks to Jonathan Krentz, pastor and the Congregation Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. Great congregation up there. They recently renewed their membership in our congregational sponsorship program called the Issues Etc. 300. This is the time when we see a lot of renewals, because this is the time when congregations are thinking about the budget for the coming year, and they're reminded, oh, we have Issues Etc. in our budget this year. That means that if your congregation is already a member of the Issues Etc. 300, this is the time to ask them to renew. And if they're not, this is the time to ask them to join, committing $1,000 or more in your mission or advertising budget. And we've given you a way to make it easy, a one-page flyer at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, and you'll find that one-page flyer. Just download it, take it to your congregation, and please ask them to join or renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. All right.
So
more rubrics.
Just one more rubric to pick up that I think is a very important one. It says, when feasible, the procession to the place of burial may form in the same order as the funeral service, led by the processional cross. At the very least, the pastor leads the casket and bereaved to the place of burial. This is wonderful where it can happen. By the way, the Paschal candle, which is lighted for the funeral, does not come out of the church, so that does not come to the cemetery. But the cross may certainly be taken to the cemetery, and there's something powerful about a cross leading us. We're walking in the way that Christ Himself has trod. And that is a beautiful confession that this funeral is going to end in resurrection. That's where it finally ends. So the committal itself can begin with a couple of different verses that the pastor can recite. The first one is non-biblical. It is from the medieval church, from the 14th century, actually. And it is a powerful hymn. It's pointed to be chanted like the Psalms are chanted. Listen to these words. In the midst of life, we are in death. From whom can we seek help? From you alone, O Lord, who by our sins are justly angered. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. Shut not your ears to our prayers, but spare us, O Lord. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. O worthy and eternal Judge, do not let the pains of death turn us away from you at our last hour. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. Now, this initial part of the prayer, the media vitae in morte sumus, in the midst of life we are in death, was supposedly coined by a monk watching some construction happening in St. Gall. And one of the workers in the on the bridge across the chasm fell to his death. And the monk right away said, you know, this is it. In the midst of life, we are in death. Luther took this up and made it his famous hymn, "In the very midst of life, death has us surrounded." Powerful hymn. And the church comes to the funeral service to witness that this is so, and yet to witness a deeper truth. It is true that in the midst of life, we are in death, but it is also true that once in the midst of death, there was life, and that into death's stinking gullet went a rising flood of life everlasting when our Lord Jesus Christ marched on death and with his presence destroyed it. These thoughts are not far from the church's head. So after this very solemn medieval piece, then very joyful scripture passages. Psalm 118. This is one of the great, great psalms of scripture quoted so many times in the New Testament. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I was pushed so hard, I was falling. The Lord helped me. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand does valiantly. The Lord's right hand exalts. The Lord's right hand does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Luther, by the way, set that to an absolutely glorious polyphonic setting. And open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous, those who are righteous by their faith in Jesus, will enter through it. And all these are songs that are done literally as you're walking from the hearse to the gravesite. If you've got the cross, it's going in front, and the pastor is singing or speaking these out as the people follow him to the grave.
And somebody who's worried about time, I've noticed in the various committals we've done lately, especially larger funerals, it takes a while for everyone to arrive. There's plenty of time for these psalms.
Yeah, there is, especially if the pastor starts singing them before he starts moving. Mm-hmm. And once the moving starts, you know, usually you try to get the hearse not too far from where the graveside is, but these are only part. I mean, there you can sing the Nunc Dimittis again. The I know that my Redeemer lives from Job can be done. The antiphon that we heard earlier with the Nunc Dimittis, I'm the resurrection and the life, that can be done. Psalm 16, Psalm 121, so many options there. But given pride of place is that medieval antiphon, in the midst of life, we are in death. That comes first. Then, if the grave's to be blessed, if it's a secular cemetery, the grave is blessed by these words. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, by your 3-day rest in the tomb, you hallowed the graves of all who believe in you, promising resurrection to our mortal bodies. Bless, with the sign of the cross, this grave, that the body of our brother or sister may sleep here in peace until you awaken him or her to glory, when he will see you face to face and know the splendor of the eternal God, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I have one question on that, because here is where we pause and pick it up here next time with you. But that question is, someone say, why do we need to bless this particular piece of real estate, this tiny piece of ground where we lay this body? Why would we need to bless it with prayer? About 1 minute, Pastor Whedon.
You know, the Word of God teaches us that all things are to be sanctified by the Word of God in prayer, that's how we set them apart for their proper holy use. And so we redeem that piece of real estate, if you will. We proclaim it to be a place that is hallowed by the anticipation of resurrection by praying over it God's blessing. Always blessing in Scripture is to be understood not so much as this is profane, and so now we're going to sanctify it, but that this is something that God himself has made. We proclaim, you know, his word proclaims all things good, And then we bless it by blessing him for the great gifts that he promises in connection with that thing. So that's what he's, you know, through the promises of Jesus, you've made the promise that this little piece of real estate right here is going to be a dormitory. It's a place where this person's body will be sleeping, awaiting the day of resurrection. And we pray that God would sanctify, keep it, bless it.
Next time we're going to pick up the prayer where the grave has already been blessed, a church cemetery.
Church cemetery.
And we'll continue with the rest of the committal service with Pastor Will Whedon. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and hosts a radio talk show called Thy Strong Word. Will, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of a papal wedding. It's a rather rare thing, but the Pope actually gathered 20 couples at the Vatican recently and himself performed their weddings. Now, the press you've been reading about this may be a bit confusing because of the tenses of the verbs. Some of these couples had lived together before marriage. Some of them had cohabitated and had children together. The press wants so bad for this to mean that the Pope is going to soften the church's position on cohabitation and extramarital sexual relations. That's not the case, but we'll talk about that media coverage with Terry Mattingly tomorrow on the show. And we'll continue our series on important Christian philosophers, talking with Dr. Angus Manouge about René Descartes. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.